Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's better. I'm delighted to be here. And it's quite humbling because when I walk to the gates, I do conversations with the Lord. I always ask, where am I? Because there are some places where I go and I sense the Lord say, I'm not part of what they are doing. I'm not here. They have a church, they have a structure, they have people sitting down, but I'm not part of what they are doing. I'm not here. I'm not invited here. But when I walked the gates, I came in here and sat over there, and I began to feel and sense a heavy presence of God. Then I want to say something, maybe that will shock you or that you don't know. I'm going to speak a prophecy about this church. This is not a normal Methodist church, which is guided by rules and structures of man. This is a place where God wants free reign. God is gonna take you out of the box called Methodist and chuck you out into the world so you can begin to attract people who walk according to the spirit that John Wesley had. You are going to have such a hunger for righteousness. You are going to have such a hunger for revival and attracting people of all nations and people of all ages, cutting across the ages, because there is a mandate upon this church. This man of God, he was trying to tell me something. I said, please don't say anything because I want the Lord to speak. And if the Lord speaks, I don't want to say, oh, because you told me. I want you to know, and I want people who are cunning, the cunning women, to write this down and begin to pray for it. This is a prophecy for this church. This church is going to be different in the next 10 years if the Lord tarries. If the Lord does not come back, it will be a revival center. It will be a place where people come to see how revival or the Holy Spirit flows this particular church. If I just say this and go, I've delivered what the Lord wanted me to say here. So I'm going to be traditional and preach a sermon, but the word that I've released to you, that's what God wants you to know. You are not a normal Methodist church. Other Methodist churches are going to be annoyed by you because the presence of God is here. They are going to be irritated by the way you function because you are going to begin to function outside the box. Lord, I thank you because this is the word you gave me. And I've delivered to your people. Let their hearts receive it. In Jesus' name. Now, we've had the first reading. The first reading is about Peter. And Peter describes himself, I, as a fellow elder. Peter is not an elder. He's an apostle. But he did not call or identify himself as, I, Peter, the apostle. But he says, a fellow elder. He reduced himself from the titles that men hold on to. And he brought himself to the level of everyone. A fellow elder among you. This is the same Peter who argued with everyone. This is the same Peter who even argued with the Lord. You will not go to the cross to die. If you die, I'll die with you. This is the same Peter who took a sword and cut someone's ear off. But because Peter has a change of heart, he begins to bring himself to the level of every man. He doesn't identify himself as the best friend of Jesus. He doesn't identify himself as the great apostle. He says, I, Peter, a fellow elder among you. Now, the language of humility is a language of interpersonal relationships. How do you relate with people? The Lord watches, not just lording ourselves over people, but he watches how we relate. In a family, how do you relate to your wife? How do you relate to your children? Do you lord over them because you are the one providing, paying the rent? Do you lord over everyone because you are the biggest giver in the church? Do you lord yourself over everyone? The Lord is calling us to a place where we can put ourselves down and allow him to be Lord. The problem of the church today is that when we walk into a church, Christ is no more there. The name of the pastor is on the pulpit. You know, I don't know how much you see of TV, but I've stopped watching Christian TV because they preach about themselves. The pastors and the preachers have become the center of attraction. And we go back to the parable of the wicked tenants. The Bible says they were given the vineyard to take care of. What it means is this. If I give my sister here this Bible and I say, give this Bible to me after a minute, I expect when I come back for her to give the Bible back to me. Because it's not hers. I loaned it to her. So I come back and say, can I have my Bible? And she gracefully gives it back to me. Now, let me talk about the church. The church does not belong to the bishop, to the pastor. It belongs to Jesus. Now, the problem we have is when we come to church, we automatically feel that we are in charge. Some elders want to check out their pastor out because they feel they are in charge. They feel that we don't want this pastor, we need him to go. Because they believe they are in charge. The place of Jesus is no more there. They don't even pray. Because they've killed the son. The thing is, the Pharisees realized that they were talking about them. But the church today doesn't realize that Jesus was talking to us. Where is the son in the church? Do we consult him before we make decisions? Do we invite Jesus to say, Jesus, this is your church. What do you want us to do with the church? Or we just go ahead with the plans anyway? They killed the son. Have we killed the son in this church? Have we killed him? Because the Pharisees, in their fallen state, they could realize that he's talking about us. This guy is talking about us. Let's kill him because he's talking about us. God sent prophets. And they killed prophets. Because in Jeremiah, the Bible says, I planted you, Israel, like a choice vine. God is talking about Israel, his people, that he planted them like a choice vine. It is the planting of the Lord. But when he gave these Pharisees to take care of the flock, they began to take care of themselves. I'm the pastor of the church, so I need a Lamborghini. I need a private jet. I need, because the church is mine, I must fleece all of you so you can look after me. My tummy should be growing bigger every day because you belong to me. This is the state of the church outside. I'm not saying that's what you do here in this church. But the state of the church right now is full of greed. Everyone is amassing wealth for themselves because they are here to stay. But we have a home in heaven. Jesus came from heaven to purchase us with the price of his own blood. That one day we'll have a reunion with him. And when he left the vineyard, he said, take care of the vineyard. It's not yours. What I want you to do is tend it. At vintage time, I can come and get some fruit. So the Lord comes back to want to see, where is the fruit? Where are the people who have been filled with the Holy Spirit? Where are those people that are now going out to evangelize? Where is the fruit? Because God wants to see the fruit. We came to church. Some people came and gave their lives to Jesus, or they were born in the Methodist church. Let me tell you, if you are born in church, that does not make you a Christian. You need to give your life to Jesus. You need to accept him. You need to be born again. You need to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to have a personal relationship with him. As he speaks to you, you speak back to him. As you speak to him, he speaks back to you. You are supposed to be in a loving, living relationship with him. Now, when he comes, he wants to see fruit. Since you gave your life to Jesus, did you tell your neighbor about Jesus? Since you gave your life to Jesus, have you done any act of humility? When you are in argument with people everywhere, it's not a sign of humility. A humble person will say, I'm not going to win an argument and lose a relationship. I will keep quiet. Let them win the argument, but let me win them for Christ. The Lord has given us a potential, each one sitting here, to bring a neighbor to the Lord. Each one sitting here to bring the whole community to the Lord. He has given you and invested in you the treasures of heaven that men cannot give. And when he comes to inspect how we have used the virtues of heaven, he looks at you and said, what have you done with the patience I gave you? What have you done with the humility I deposited in you? What have you done with the kindness I gave? Because these are the virtues that God wants to see as fruit in us. Hallelujah. You know, the story of the first book is talking about humility and serving other people. And the next parable is talking about when we become aggressive and we become self-centered. We look at ourselves, we don't look at anyone else. When someone is selfish and greedy, they don't even consider the other person. Jesus died. He was selfless. If he looked at himself, you know, if Jesus was not humble, suppose he were not humble, on the day they were crucifying him, he could have called 10,000 angels to come and slaughter everyone. But he humbly gave himself over because he knew by dying on the cross, he's going to win nations to himself. Imagine me, an African, someone who comes from Africa where we worship ancestors. We believe that our ancestors had no power not to die. You know, on the day of their death, they had no power to resurrect themselves. But we go to their grave and start asking them, protect me. They could not protect themselves against death. They could not protect themselves against witches. But we go to them and say, please, Father, protect me. One man of God said to me, you need to go to your father and ask him to protect you. I said, my father could not protect himself from the witches of the village. And he died in their hands. Why would he come to protect me? We have a greater God who has loved us and who has protected us. But he wants fruit from us. He does not create us and put virtues in us so that we can just look lovely and beautiful. He's looking for fruit. And when he comes, he wants to see who is in charge. Are you in charge of your life or Christ is in charge of your life? The evil tenant believes they are in charge of their lives. Today we are living in a world where the humanism is the greatest sin, greater than witchcraft and all the sins that we know. People believe they can do whatever they want, whenever they want, to whomever they want. They are not hurting anyone. You are born a woman today, you are now a man tomorrow. You are born a man, you are now a woman. Because no one should tell you what to do. But the tenant, the one who looks after God's field says, this body is not mine, it belongs to God. We are living in the last days. Very, very last days. Our Lord will appear in the sky. And he's looking at the attitude of the church. It must be different from the attitude of the world. The people of the world lord it over themselves. They want to be respected. They want to be honored. But when we come to the house of God, each one must lay down their importance to make another more important. That's the story of humility. The story of humility is saying, it's not how I feel, but it's how the other person will feel after I've said those things I want to say now. The question of humility is, I know that I have a right to do it, but my only right is to lay down all that is right to me and pick up what is right in Christ's eyes. So my right, the only right I have, is to surrender all my rights to the one who has rights over me, and that is the Lord himself. The church is at a time and a brink of seeing the greatest revival that has ever been seen in the whole world. But we are standing on that brink with people whose hearts are standing in arrogance against God. Everyone stands as their own Lord and Master. And yet the Master is coming to his field to say, this is me, I own you. No, you don't. Who created you? No, my parents did. No, they didn't. The parents came from God and you came from God. God is looking for a humble heart as we serve him. Whatever he has given us is for us to give back to him. Because when he comes back, he wants what he has invested in us. There are some people who are given gifts. They can play the guitar. They can sing very well, but they don't want to sing. They want people to come and beg them. Please come and be a drummer. We don't have a drummer in this church. The Lord is coming to ask you, what have you done? It's vintage time. I want fruit from you. I can't play drums because they offended me last time. I'm not going to give them. But that gift is not from you. It's from God. Anything that came from God is for you to give back to God. Just like rain. When rain comes, it comes from God. It comes and waters the ground. Then it evaporates back to God. Everything that God has invested in us, it needs to be brought back to him. If you have wealth, that wealth should be given back to God. If you have got ability, that ability should be given back to God. If you have got skills, those skills should be given back to God. God is talking to us as the tenants, looking after this field, which is the field of God. Hallelujah. Peter had a change of heart. The time that he's teaching other people to be humble, he himself has walked a time when he didn't know what humility is all about. Everything was about Peter. He's the one who ran to Jesus at one point and said, what do you do? How many times should you forgive anyone? If they offend you today, they take your fish. They don't ask you. They are taking your fish. And the next day, they take your boat. And you don't ask them, why are you taking my boat? How many times should I forgive this Judas who is always about money? Then the Lord said, 77 times 7. That's 499 times a day. Can you have anyone offend you 499 times in one day? This is the same Peter who was, every time, you know, he had an answer for everything. But because he has been processed, the Lord allowed him to go through a process. He has rejected Christ. He said, I don't know him. And the person who was intimidating him was an unarmed little girl who said, you two were with him. You speak like a Galilean. I think you were one of him. He said, no, me, I don't know what you're talking about. And he started bringing all the F words, you know, of that time. The same Peter, God has changed his heart. He now admonishes others to walk in humility. It does not matter how you have been walking before. But from today, the Lord is calling us to a walk of humility. Humility looks at the other person before it considers itself. Humility looks at Christ as the ultimate. God is going to take us out of our norm, out of our comfort zone, because he is God. And when he asks you, someone was talking about giving offerings. If I'm used to giving a pound, but because there's something we want to do as a church, I need to shift and begin to give 10 pounds or 20 pounds or 30 pounds because I know I'm going to do God's work with this money that he has given me. Without him giving you, you have no power to make money. Do you think who makes one person rich and the other poor? Is it not God? Some people have been given brains. They will come up, wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to bottle water from a spring. And they become millionaires. Some people will pass through that spring every day and they are begging for bread. Do you think it's not God who gave you that ability? You didn't create water. You just bought a plastic bottle and sat at a spring and started collecting the water. And you put a name, it's called Evian. And you start putting it in every shop and you become a multimillionaire. The same person in your neighborhood will pass through that same well. And they will not know what to do with the water. They just drink what is enough and they go to the next street to beg. God gives us ability. But when he does give us the ability, he comes back to say, what have you done with the ability I gave you? In humility, we give him all. Hallelujah. I want to go back to the parable of the tenants. When I read this parable, the Lord took me into the church. And he always shows me. The first time he said to me, Maureen, there are three churches. The first church is the church of Jesus, where people love Jesus and is the center. When they sing the songs, they are centered on Christ. When they pray, every prayer is centered on Christ. The next church is the church of men. And I want you to be careful. The church of men is when you walk into the church, all they talk about is the man of God. Oh, we want to thank God for the man of God. They worship that man of God more than they worship Christ. The third church is the church of Lucifer. When you walk in, they say they are doing deliverance from morning. They take demons from this one, put in that one, take from back to that one. That one had two demons now. They say it's deliverance, but it's not deliverance. You see all these theatrics happening morning, night. That's not, because the devil likes center stage. He likes to be celebrated. So they are all demons. They don't preach about Jesus. They are just talking about we are casting demons day in, day out. Then the Lord said to me, you need to pray for a spirit of discernment. When you walk into a church, ask, where am I? Because you could be trapped in a church of men. Or you could be trapped in a church of Lucifer. These are the last days. The Bible says there will be deception. If it were possible, even the elect will lose the way and start following these men of God. But do you know what? Jesus has given us his word. This word is the standard that we go by. We go back to his word. We study his word. We know his mind concerning us. We discern the spirit that is in operation in any church. What is the spirit operating? Is it directing me back to Christ? To his nails, to his crown of thorns. Is it? So the person who is in charge of their life knows that they are not in charge at all. They surrender that life to the Lord and they say, Lord, lead me and guide me to the place where I must be watered. We don't direct our own footsteps. We ask him, direct me. The wicked, evil tenants thought they were in charge. That was the problem of those people. They thought they were in charge of their own lives. They thought, do you know what the Bible talks about? In the end, all these evil tenants, the Bible says, he will kill all those evil tenants. It's the judgment of God that comes at the end of all humanity. When we've lived this life the way we love, the way we want to live, apart from the word of God, judgment is coming. We must never live our lives without the perspective of God's judgment, because his judgment is righteous judgment. He has already given us Christ. In that parable, he says, and he sent his only son whom he loved. He said, I think this time they will respect him. They can't respect the prophets because they know the prophets. The prophets are from the earth, but now I'm sending someone from heaven. They will honor him. They killed John the Baptist and dishonored him just over a dance. A little girl danced and he said, I want the head of John the Baptist. And they disgraced a servant of God. But then he said, when I send my son, they will respect him. But they didn't respect him. God has given us the best sacrifice. And we are not going to kill the son in our lives. Ask yourself, have I killed the son in my own life? The decisions that you make, do they include Jesus? Before you make up your mind, I'm going to go to Scotland. I'm fed up. Have you consulted the Lord? Do you want me to go to Scotland? Because if you do not consult the Lord, you have already killed him. There are so many Christians who say, they were so wicked, they were so evil. How could they kill Jesus? But we kill him every day. We live our lives apart from him. We choose the things that we want to do without asking him, without inquiring what the word of God wants with our lives. And we have killed Christ. I went to Israel myself, and the first time I went there, I would say, oh, these are the Jewish people that killed Jesus. These are the Jewish people that killed Jesus. And it was so easy for me to say, look at them at the wailing wall. What are they crying for? They killed Jesus. They killed Jesus. Until the Lord said, what about you? You kill me every day. By the way, you dishonor my word. When we dishonor one another, the way we respect the other person, that's the way we respect Jesus. The way we humble ourselves before other people. The Bible continues to say in the book of Peter, even you young people, humble yourself. As the elders are speaking, they are speaking from experience. But you are speaking from the knowledge from university. But they've lived it. And they'll tell you the choice you are making is the wrong one. You say, no, what do you know? What have you studied? Do you know the psychology that I've done? Let's listen to me. The word of God is perfect. And those people who have walked before you, they've experienced and tested that the Lord is good. So when they direct you, this is not the way. This Bible says, humble yourself and learn from them. The problem we are having today is nobody wants to learn from anyone. Everyone knows it all. But the church should be different. This should be a place where we are all taught by the Spirit of God. And we all learn from each other. And we all humble ourselves one to another. Nobody lording it over themselves. You know, there's a church that I watched on TV. Maybe some of you know. A pastor gave his people poison because he was in charge of them. He asked them to drink poison and they all died. In South Africa, a few months ago, a pastor, a man of God, took thick bleach and asked a member, drink this thick bleach because it will clean your whatever. And these members died. Because this man has taken so much power, they think they can lord themselves over the flock of God. The flock does not belong to us. We are pastors. We are elders in the church. The truth is, you don't belong to us. You belong to God. As we also belong to God. All we can do is give the guidance and leave it with you to make choices that are according to the word of God. You honor the elders, and the elders do not lord it over your members. A spirit of humility is being given into this work. If God is calling or demanding humility among us, he knows he's got a greater work to do outside. The waiters and waitresses that wait in the store, That's not humility they are showing. They want a tip. But they come and they tell you, would you like a glass of water? And they show what looks like humility. But that is not humility, because they know at the end of the day, you put a tip in the tray. They know if they don't show that kind of humility, you won't give them a tip. Or they will not get a salary. But the humility that God is calling us to show to one another is not for what we can gain on this earth. It's what we gain when we've crossed over to the other side of eternity. That's the humility that God is engrafting in us. When we walk in humility, we have a reward in heaven. Amen. I want to ask us to pray. Anything that I've preached today and the Lord has spoken something to you, can we stand up? And I pray that you open your heart and say, Lord, give me that mindset of humility to serve in the church of God, to serve my family in humility, my community in humility, without demanding a reward, because I've got a greater reward with the Lord. Can we all stand up? This prayer, you make it in your heart. Is there any area in my life that I've walked in arrogance, that I've walked, you know, disrespectfully to people that are in charge, whom God has put? You know, if God puts a pastor in you, in your midst or in your church, the greatest gift you can give your pastor is prayer. Because to lead a church is not easy. All the pastors that are in your church, pray for them. The greatest gift you can give to anyone who is giving you a word of God is a bit of honor. And they are also required by God to not own you like a piece of property, but knowing that the one who is Lord of all will require their service one day and say, well done, faithful servant. Or, you never saved me, you saved yourself. It was for your stomach that you saved. I want us to open our hearts to the Lord. I want us to pray this prayer in our hearts. Lord Jesus, look at me, the inner me, in any place that I have not been humble to the calling that you've given me in this work, in this church, where I'm called to pray and I've not done it in humility, where I'm called to give service and I've not done in humility, where I'm called to encourage and I've not done in humility, where I'm called to give and I've not done in humility, Lord, I pray that you forgive me. And from today, Lord, show me those people that I must honor. And show me those people that I need to feed. Show me the people that I need to, this fear of influence that I can influence around me in my home, in my community, and even in this church. Show me those people and give me a mindset of humility. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.